Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody.
All right. It is Thursday
night, January 12th. That means it's time for Bracket Rundown. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by Matt Sikowski. Welcome back, Matt. It's been a while since we've seen you. And David Dorman. David Griggs, unfortunately, is here this week, unlike last week.
Well, last week you told me it started an hour later.
I messed up this week. I forgot to say that again.
Yeah, I've been waiting. I've been here for an hour. Where the hell have you all been?
To his sides are John Slica and John Titel. So we've got a panel of six people here tonight. And we're going to be doing two out of the three steps the selection committee does. We're going to be doing them both at once. The actual selection committee, when they meet first, they pick the at-large teams. Then they create a seed list between those and all the automatic bids. And then they create the bracket. What we are going to do simultaneously at once here this evening is pick the at-large teams and create the seed list. So we're going to kind of start at the beginning and go all the way down through the end of the at-larges. I'm going to fill in the remaining automatic bids of the last four lines. Griggs, if you want to find out more about those teams, where do you go?
Under the radar, we recorded it last night. And yes, this is how good this panel is. It takes the committee, what, 4 or 5 days to do this? We're going to do this in 45 minutes. That is how amazing this panel is.
After we're done, we're going to create the bracket. You can actually see that bracket below us right now. If you do look at it, you just cheated and completely ruined the show. So,
we're going to use my seed list since it's the best one.
I'm going to start with a screenshot, but before we get to the brackets, as I pull this up here, I figured it'd be time for do a little another blind resume. We love blind resumes here, and we've got a couple resumes popping up on the screen right now. And the question is very simple: left or right, which one's better? Matt, you're welcome back. I'll let you start here. Which one do you like better, left or right? Or neither?
I'll go with left, because I think there's a little more on it. Even though right has the better win, left's probably the next bunch of wins are better than that.
Yeah, Titel, you agree with him?
I think it's kind of a coin flip. You hate the tier four on the left, but you hate the lack of more tier one and two on the right. I'll go coin flip.
I already know the team on the right here.
I don't know either one of them. A loss at home to 208, but a win on the – I don't know either one of them. I kind of like the one on the right.
You kind of like the one on the right. Okay, that surprised me. The one on the right is a power conference team. That's Indiana. The one on the left, Boise State, a team
I like. I meant left. At all. Hey, I'm looking through one of those reverse mirrors. I meant left.
Does that surprise you, Titel, that you chose Boise over Indiana?
It does. Well, I didn't choose. I chose coin flip. But I think that it shows that the Mountain West is getting a little more respect than we've given it. Not that we've given it in the past. We love the Mountain West, but that the nation's given it in the past. The South Dakota State loss is almost unexplainable. But Indiana has had so many injuries this year that even though it is a coin flip on paper, if you look at all these losses, they were missing a lot of guys for all of them. I think Johnson and Thompson are still out. So certainly plenty of chances for tier one and two the rest of the way, but a lot of injuries.
I'll tell you, I almost made instead of Indiana, just because of what we saw tonight, Minnesota, the team on the right. And then you would have been equal with both having a tier four home loss after Minnesota this evening. Ohio State on the right there with Minnesota beating them this evening. So
I think what this shows is that had Xavier not missed a layup, Indiana's probably not even in the field.
Right. And you might be right on that. But let's go. This is the board we're going to build on tonight. We're going to go down the line here.
I'm excited. Bracket.
Few terms we're going to use tonight. Greg, do you want to just define some of them?
Okay. If you're watching this show for the first time, if you're not watching this show for the first time, you know what all these mean. If you're watching it for the first time, when you hear protected seed, that is essentially seeds one through two, three, or four, or the top 16. Technically, what that means is that in the round of 64, they're protected from a home court disadvantage, I suppose. So, like, you wouldn't go to Birmingham and be placed against UAB if you were a protected seed. What it really means is that you avoid a team that's inside the bubble in the round of 64. First ballot, that's typically teams, the committee begins the process by voting for up to 36 teams. It doesn't have to be 36, but it's up to 36. There's 12 members. Any team that receives 10 or more votes is placed in the field. So we're talking essentially about the top half of the bracket, seeds one through eight. inside the bubble, and outside the bubble, those are teams that are either in but need to hold serve to stay there, right on the cut line, or out and still have work to do. Did I leave anything else out?
I think that about covers it. I would do want to just throw out there a quick note. We are recording this lift at 9 o'clock Eastern. Most of you probably could watch this, are probably watching this here on Friday. Any games that went final after we record this, obviously are not factored in. There are a couple big games coming up later today, including Gonzaga, Arizona, UCLA, all playing this evening. So if something, if like Utah wins at UCLA tonight, that may, that probably would change what we do to this evening, but we're not going to be factoring that in.
Right. We, you know, because if you waited until the games went final, you'd never actually be able to do one. So,
well, we'd be doing this with the recording at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not doing the recording at 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's go ahead and start.
Chad, I feel strongly that I should start here. I should do the whole thing, but
sorry, Matt. I can give you the honor of our one line here because it's your first time back with us as well. How about that?
All right, and I don't think I have any crazy teams here, but the order might be interesting. Okay. I have Purdue number one, where it is. I actually have Alabama number two, Kansas number three, and Houston number four.
The order is really important on the especially on the 1, 2, 3, and 4 line because of things, and that's why I think maybe it is worth a little discussion here, especially on the order with Kansas three might be a shocker. Stalika, let me bring you in. We haven't heard from you yet tonight. What do you think of Matt, especially his order and maybe his teams as well?
I have no problem with the teams right here, especially given a bit of a meteoric rise by Alabama right here. I would have Kansas at the top right here, followed by Purdue and Houston. And I think Alabama has cracked in as the final number one seed right here. We could debate potentially swapping Houston and Alabama under a scenario just because the Tide won the head-to-head.
I kind of disagree with Matt having Alabama at number two. Can you pull out? Yeah, let's look at Alabama again. Right?
Versus which team, Purdue or Kansas?
Either one. Let's look at Purdue.
Okay, Alabama versus Purdue.
Yeah. They've won at Houston. They've won at Arkansas. Purdue's done nothing like that. Alabama is my overall number one team.
Okay, let's get some. We'd have.
Purdue, there is nobody. They have two road wins against protected seeds. That is ridiculously good.
First of all, let me go back to Matt first to defend Purdue number one and Kansas all the way down to three. Because quite frankly, I personally would have gone Kansas number one. So I think we have at least three teams. Haven't even heard from Dorman or Titel on this yet.
It's the same. It's just, you would have been wrong.
Purdue, it's the one loss that was for me the clincher of. And that's where like everyone else 2+ losses.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Titel, what do you think? Who should be number one overall then? Purdue, Alabama, Kansas, Florida Atlantic.
Kansas. They've beaten Wisconsin, on the road at Missouri, Indiana, at West Virginia, Oklahoma. Losing to a little team I like to call Tennessee is not that big of a ding, obviously. I agree it's also a coin flip as well because you can make strong arguments for the others, but I have Kansas number one overall.
Dorman, what do you think?
I have Kansas overall number one as well. I'm with Titel. And I went Kansas, Purdue, Bama, Houston.
So you would just move Kansas number one, but leave Matt's order alone otherwise. I know, Griggs, you want Alabama one.
Well, one of these four teams has beaten a one seed on the road.
And done nothing else besides that.
Nothing else besides that. Arkansas, nothing. Michigan State,
Carol, these three wins are not going to be very high near the top of our bracket. Kentucky is a name and nothing else. And you've got two losses. Kentucky. Everyone else has one loss.
To Connecticut and Gonzaga.
Alabama lost to Gonzaga. Guess who beat Gonzaga?
I'd argue against Kansas. I don't think they have a single win against a protected seed anywhere. Home road.
Yeah, but didn't Purdue beat Gonzaga, Griggs, and Alabama couldn't?
Well, I mean, that's one way of looking at it, I suppose. But Alabama did beat Arkansas, who I don't know. I'd have to go through the...
I think I heard the most love for Kansas being number one overall. And I think I don't think anybody won Houston above number four overall.
Even though they're the top ranked team.
Even though they're top ranked team, but I think I would agree with anybody that wants to say that Houston's profile is the worst. Tytel, what do you think of these four? Is it doesn't Houston kind of have the worst profile?
17-1 is pretty good. Losing only by six to a fellow one seed is pretty good, but certainly the strength of schedule being in triple digits is not that great.
All right. Let's try to move things along here. Let's just make the one modification to Matt's line and move over. Dorman, let me move over to you for the two line here.
Let's go Connecticut, Tennessee, Arizona, UCLA.
Well, Pac-12 love on this line here. Stalika, you liking that?
I wouldn't like UCLA up here just yet. They only have one team I would probably say would be in the field at the moment when you count their road win at Maryland right here. I think we have to get Iowa State in here now because now they have wins against Baylor. They have TCU on the road, which is at least one protected seed right there, and also a win at Oklahoma that's starting to look a little bit better. I think they're, 4-2 on the road? Or at least away from home overall. So we definitely have to look at the Cyclones here.
Yeah, I think we should look at the Cyclones. Same conference, but I'll let Chad say it because I know who he likes, and I think it's the same team I like.
Well, I think that okay. Let's start with this Iowa State UCLA thing before we get to bring another team in. Matt, what do you think? Should Iowa State be in here over UCLA?
No, but I don't like either one there.
Okay, so
I like
them
both as three seeds, but not who I'd have as the final two.
Okay, well, why don't we pull UCLA down then? Because I'm not seeing here a lot of love for UCLA. Who would be that final two then?
I'd have Texas.
Oh, okay. Oh, same conference again, but not the team I was
going to go with. I'm thinking of a team that won at Texas. That isn't Texas. I know Texas has won at Texas, but so did this other team.
Well, Griggs, you want to say it? Okay. We got Texas. We got Iowa State. We got – go ahead, Griggs.
Kansas State. And I understand the logic that, like, maybe you're overreacting to one really good week. But, oh, my God, it was such a good week. Like I like the win at TCU. It is an outstanding win. I think the win at Texas is better. And Baylor is – they're outside of the win at TCU, I don't think they have anything else as good as the win at Baylor, them being Iowa State. I like both these teams. And fortunately, with them being in the same conference, I think it's going to be obvious in March who the better one is. But if we're talking about who's better now, I think Kansas State is just phenomenal all of a sudden.
Well, we now have... Tytel, let me ask you. Before we figure out this fourth team, UConn, Tennessee, and Arizona, are those correct?
Yes. No veto.
Okay. No veto there. I think there's an argument against Tennessee, but I'm not going to make it tonight. I'll make it some other time. But I'll make it very quickly, actually. This Tennessee profile, I
has some warrants by two seed standards.
You beat Kansas and nobody. That's my problem with them, and they have a bad loss to Colorado, but for two seed standards is what I'm talking. But let's leave Tennessee there because I'm never going to win that argument. Dorman, do you want to defend your pick of Iowa State of UCLA over one of these three Big 12 teams we've thrown out there?
It's tight. I get the if you knocked out UCLA, I would probably go Kansas State next. It's real tight between Kansas State, Iowa State, and UCLA. UCLA's losses are really strong. But like I said, I'm not really going to fight for UCLA because it's really close here.
Tytel, you want to cast a tiebreaker vote for us then? Because I've heard a couple votes for K-State, Iowa State, UCLA, Texas.
If you put Kansas State in here, you're awarding them for having a horrible non-conference schedule, which is something I'm not ready to do just yet. Okay. I know they've had some great wins recently, but UCLA has not lost since before Thanksgiving. I know the schedule is not full of top 10 teams, but all they do is win.
Okay, I guess my response to that is I'm not rewarding them for their weak schedule.
You are.
I mean, it's going up there despite that. not because of it. I'm rewarding them for two really, really good road wins.
Well, the only team getting multiple team people like them is UCLA. So I think UCLA does, Dorman, your original pick does make it. And Tytel, let me turn to you as we have half the Big 12 under consideration right now. And another Big 12 team that's close, that not even on that list.
So let's put the two Big 12 teams that we have under consideration in before we
I got three of them there, though.
Well, when it's your time to pick this three seed, you can get the three in for now. Let's put the two under consideration in.
Which two is what I'm asking you? I've got Iowa State, K-State, and Texas all under consideration right now.
Fine, put all three in. I guess that's okay.
Okay, no, I just want to know which two you wanted. That's all.
I'll kowtow to this.
Okay.
John, if you don't like the picks, then pick someone else. Well, I mean, the whole point of this is to discuss and argue, and to tell each other that we're wrong.
One of the reasons I have succeeded as a bracketologist is crowdsourcing, so I'm not going to break with the formula. As far as the fourth,
Go TCU. Do it.
I'm not going to do it. For me, it's a coin flip between Gonzaga and Xavier, and I think I'm going to go with Xavier, but it could easily be Gonzaga because they beat a team called Xavier.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, so they did.
You're going with Xavier, though, right? Okay, you're going with Xavier. Matt, what do you think about throwing all three of these Big 12 teams in, not TCU, who I was rooting for to be the fourth, even though I don't think they're quite there yet, and Xavier as the fourth?
I like this. These five, put this away. I don't like TCU quite up here just yet. The other five, that's a real good argument for four spots. I actually have K-State at the bottom of that list, but I'm probably in the minority of that. I would have Gonzaga over Xavier, though. It's like they beat them head-to-head.
I mean, that's where I am with it. I like them both. I don't know who I would pick if they were to play again. I do. I would pick Xavier to win if they were to play now, because I just think Xavier's gotten better as the year's going on. So I don't care that Xavier's there, but to me, if all things are equal and they've played head to head, then especially on a neutral court, then I would give it to Gonzaga for that reason. But I understand. But in saying that, Xavier is really good. Xavier is really good this year.
I think that's a strong argument. I've heard a couple of people loving that one, and I tell you, it was pretty close for you anyhow. So I think we should make that one flip here. We'll go with the Iowa State, K-State, Texas, Gonzaga line. Did that three line a little quicker. And I hate to do this, but Griggs, you want to give me the fours?
Well, the two that are under consideration are the next two on my seed list. And I've got one surprise for sure, maybe two. Virginia, that's not the surprise. I got Providence. Another team that's played a week out of conference schedule. And I know that that's not what Tytel likes, but I just like how they've been playing, and I think that they're a team that's getting better.
Stalika, what do you think? Your Xavier team, who just barely missed the three line, along with TCU, Virginia, and Providence.
I would agree with Xavier on the four line right here, simply because all of their big wins are coming at home so far as to on the road right here. I have no problem with TCU or Virginia. I do think it's too early to consider the Friars right here, but not too early to consider the Miami Hurricanes right here, who've also beaten a little team called Providence back in November.
That's a fair point.
And they also beat Virginia, who you just put in above them too, yeah. Griggs.
Miami is number 17, and I went back and forth with them a lot. Honestly, when you assess it like that, I don't want to admit I was wrong. I had Miami up there all along. I was just testing the panel.
Dorman, do you agree also we should drop Providence down and bring Miami in here?
Yes, I have Miami on the four line.
All right, Matt, you agree as well?
I have Miami over Providence on my list, yeah.
Okay. You have another problem with the four line?
Chad, I am here.
Oh, and we've got Joby Forza.
Joby's here.
Virginia gets called. We're discussing ACC teams. Oh. I actually have Miami higher up the seed line because they beat Virginia. I actually have Miami all the way up to 14. I think they're ahead of TCU even right now.
They're good.
Moving Miami. Yeah,
Miami's Virginia. Good. Yeah. I nothing against TCU. I want to stress that. But they did lose last night. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to lose last night, but they did lose. And let's wait on Miami to give another one away, because Miami did give one away recently.
Okay. So Xavier, Miami, TCU, Virginia. Tytel, did we get that right?
That's Miami, Florida, Chad. I want to make sure that you know I'm not talking about the Redhawks that Stalika likes.
No, it would say Mother Miami if it were the Redhawks. You know this.
We did get it right, Chad, but I'm telling you that in terms of the big picture, every single Arkansas loss involved one or more injuries. So if they're healthy, which they're not going to be with Brazil, but if Nick Smith comes back, they're certainly like under consideration.
All right, I'll put Arkansas up there under consideration. I think that's very fair to do. And I think we'll go to Stalika next for the five line.
So I think with that in mind, we'll go ahead and get both Providence and Arkansas now that they're under consideration right here. I think we mentioned Michigan State earlier as a team that probably going to be a little bit, I don't think you're expecting to hear them this early, but now that
Are you putting Michigan State in on the five line?
Wow.
Yes, I am.
I thought I had them high.
Absolutely. You're looking for them by personal C list, and they're wearing dark uniforms in the first round of mine. So,
wear dark uniforms in the first round if they like. This is 2023.
Okay, Michigan State.
I think we should also add Baylor in as my next number five right here.
All right, Baylor does not offend me one bit.
I thought I had
Joby. What do you think about Providence, Arkansas, and Baylor?
One of these Michigan things State? Is not like the other.
Well, you know, Michigan State. You know, Michigan State did beat Kentucky, so. No, Michigan State. It's too early. That I actually agree with Stalika in that they should be assigned white in the prior years, but not the five line. I'm sorry to sound ACC homerish here, but I will go. I will instead go back to the ACC well and go Duke here.
Oh no no!
Oh,
no, no,
no. Okay. Because that Duke team did beat the Xavier team that we're all high on. They beat Ohio State. They beat Iowa and they beat Pitt. That's four teams. I think. Well, Iowa and Pitt. Yeah, that's 3.5. How about that? That'll be in our field.
Chad, can you leave Duke up there, please, and bring up Marquette, please?
Marquette, okay. Yes. We have to bring Matt into this conversation as well, but how about Marquette? So is this the team you like over Duke, Marquette?
Yes.
I like
– Okay. You want to make the case here?
I think last night beating UConn, coming back in the second half, I thought they looked really strong. They got wins over Baylor. They got wins over Creighton. We're currently discussing Baylor, so I have Marquette ahead of Baylor on the head-to-head. And Wisconsin was a loss to Marquette that was tight. They could have won that one. Duke's loss to Wake gives me a little uneasy. I have Marquette slightly before Duke.
And the way Duke lost to NC State as well by 24 points, getting blown out.
Ran out of the gym.
Matt, they are your team. Is this where they belong?
Yeah, I think somewhere like a 4 or 5 is about where Marquette is at this point.
All right. I think they need a little more meat because Creighton's not anything right now. You know,
I agree with that.
I think that will age Creighton, well, though, I think.
I think Creighton's net is a mirage, plain and simple. Not saying Marquette can't get there, because Marquette has already laid in two really nice wins. Okay.
Great.
I'm there. I'm with you, Marquette. I probably do the next line for him, but I want a little more meat at this stage.
You're saying you're not a fan of a plant-based meat that's in their schedule?
Well, there's a drop-off right now in what they've done. You know, hey, they play in the Big East. They don't play, you know, in the A-10. There's going to be opportunities, even like, you know, a road game at Seton Hall or something. I don't know. But you know, there'll be other opportunities. I want to see them achieve those opportunities because right now they're a little bit of a two-hit, maybe if you give a half to Creighton, 2.5-hit wonder, and it drops off. you know, it really does drop off.
Okay, you know, isn't Duke also about a two and a half hit wonder though?
Yeah, I mean,
Iowa State doesn't look good. Hits in our field.
So was Iowa.
I think the
look at the losses, Joe. Duke went to Purdue and got their doors blown off. Marquette went there and competed. Marquette lost in double or triple overtime, whatever it was, at Providence, who's already in the field. Like, yeah, you're sort of holding your nose with the Mississippi State loss, but I just think that Marquette, whether it's on paper or just watching them on the court, if Duke and Marquette played, who do you pick to win that game?
I honestly pick Duke. Oh man, Duke is tough. I would pick Duke, but it's Duke is a little more flaky given their youth.
Okay, we do have to move on here. Tytel, I'll let you be the tiebreaker. Duke, Marquette.
I'm going with Marquette.
Okay, let's keep things rolling here. And Joby, let me go to you for the sixth slide, which I believe will begin with Duke.
Yeah, I think it will begin with Duke. All right, I'm going to throw a little curveball here. We're going to talk a lot of Mountain West teams tonight.
Oh, whether they're Joby going Mountain West.
I got a Mountain West team on here. It's San Diego way State. Up in the mountains of Southern California.
No. Yes. Yes. San Diego State.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I mean,
got him on this line too. I got him right there.
Okay, Joby, we need two more teams.
Oh God. Yeah. Then it gets, this is a drop point, but I'm going to say Wisconsin.
I like that pick here, actually.
Yeah, okay. If Missouri, I don't trust is the problem here, or I would be all over the Tigers. So I might have to go with the other Tigers who actually delivered a win for their resume. They much needed War Eagle.
Auburn. Going Auburn. Let me see here.
This Matt. Is the cliff, by the way. I strongly say that this is the cliff in the field, like where there's gaps, clear gaps.
Matt, did he leave out a Big Ten team and not Michigan State? What about the Illini here?
Left out a couple.
Oh, he left out a Big Ten team. Yeah. He left out the one that plays at Piscataway.
Oh, he left out Rutgers here as well. Okay.
Who I do I, like. I'm not going to lie. I don't think it's time, but I am probably ahead of where – okay. Most bracketologists would be on Rutgers.
Joby, if I had Auburn in the 7-10 game, it would not be as the 7. I mean, that is not a strong.
Okay, Matt would have gone Rutgers over this Auburn pick here. Let's get a few other people here though. Let's get Stalika. What do you think?
I think if we're looking at the top of Rutgers, wins at Purdue and Northwestern are certainly going to be impressive. The problem with the Scarlet Knights is you start to look at some of their losses and you're going to be holding your nose at Temple for sure, and probably Seton Hall to a lesser degree just because it was at home right here.
I hold my nose at that Georgia loss for Auburn too, so there is the excuse of injuries, at least for the Temple loss for Rutgers, not for the Seton Hall one. Dorman, what do you think? Well, where should we be going here to on this sixth line of play back up?
I also think it's tight. I would go Rutgers over Auburn because Rutgers has one of those things that not many people or anyone else is going to have this year, and that's a win over Purdue. When you beat teams that very rarely lose and you got some tight teams here, I go with the team that knocked off a one seed. And on the road, I would lean Rutgers.
I think we have our line then. I think it looks like it's Duke, San Diego State, Wisconsin, Rutgers seems to be the love here. Tytel, what about the other three teams? Are you okay with those three? Duke, San Diego State, Wisconsin?
No veto.
No veto. All right. Matt, let me go back to you then for our seven line. We do have three teams under consideration. Auburn and Illinois. There, Michigan State. I still think Sleek is still too early on them 2 lines ago.
I think you're being a little too harsh for penalizing them for one Notre Dame loss.
You want to talk like I'm still leaving them behind. I will take Auburn and Illinois with here.
Okay.
And that I got another schizo team here, Maryland. And then I got the Gales of the St. Mary's.
And then St. Mary's. Okay. They are playing right now. In fact, as we recorded, I believe they are up. I lost track of the score here a few minutes ago. They are up on Loyola Marymount as we record. Tytel, what do you think? Auburn, Illinois, Maryland, St. Mary's for the 7 line.
I agree we need some Big Ten teams in here, but I'm going to give you some Michigan State love, and I can back it up. So senior star, or their senior, I don't know if he's a star, but he's a key component of the offense. When he's been hurt this year in 8 games, the team is 5-3 and is arguably outside the bubble. When healthy, 7-1, they're only lost by one to the Zags on a battleship. Now that he's healthy, that's how they beat Michigan and Wisconsin back to back. So I think we can talk about them on this line.
Team would you put them in over of these four here?
I would put them in over Auburn, actually, and get three Big Ten teams. Although I got to tell you, like, Matt's right that Maryland's schizophrenic, but like, I keep waiting for the good Maryland because I keep seeing the bad Maryland over and over.
Dorman, what do you think? Should we be pulling Auburn down another line and putting Michigan State in here? Or go somewhere else entirely?
I have Michigan State slightly ahead of St. Mary's. That's where I would go. If you just had those two side by side, and those two St. Mary's losses in the tier three, Colorado State at home, versus Washington, that bothers me there, those tier three losses. Michigan State. It was Michigan State over St. Mary's.
Those are the kind of losses where I would either have them wearing dark or I'd be considering whether or not they should even be in the field altogether.
I agree.
All right. Joby, what do you think?
Illinois is the only unanimous pick right now.
I like Illinois.
I do think Michigan State should be in over Maryland. Not that Maryland should fall a long way, but I think the other three make sense, and Michigan State joining them, you know, rounds it out pretty effectively.
All right. Griggs, we need a tiebreaker here, and it's going to go to you. Which of these three teams, Auburn, Maryland, St. Mary's, drops out so we can put Michigan State in?
I would go with Auburn. I'm just not that enamored with Auburn. St. Mary's has some nasty losses, but at least they've done something too. Auburn, they won a close game against Northwestern on a neutral floor, and they just haven't looked good. Maybe I'm catching them on the wrong nights, but when you look at their profile, isn't that kind of bland?
Arkansas win being recent, also maybe there's a recency bias for, but that's one of the things I like.
Yeah,
in particular, I know it's at home, but it's still, you know, they beat a very good team in front of them and did it well. I think they're on the path. I think Pearl, they're going to start really showing. But you know, hey, maybe we do need a little more, kind of like
Marquette. And maybe they'll get there before the end of the year. I just don't think they're there yet. I like the win at Wisconsin on the road more than I like the win at Arkansas at home.
Okay, fair enough. And we already have Wisconsin in, so we also already have Arkansas in. But let's leave this here with Illinois, Maryland, St. Mary's, Michigan State, Auburn, the one carryover. Dorman, I assume Auburn's coming in the 8 line, but it's up to you for four teams.
Yes, Auburn, please.
Okay, have three more.
Remember,
Ohio State lost very badly at home tonight to Minnesota. Correct. So this is right around where I had them before that game. So I just want to throw that out there.
Not to interrupt you, Dorman. Rocco said to make a certain team a protected seed. I didn't have them as a protected seed, but I had them on.
It's not your line, Griggs.
My line, though. It's not my line.
Going back to the ACC, real interested in what Joby has to say here. Going like North Carolina State.
Love it. I love that pick here on the 8 line. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Two more. Wow.
I want Auburn there. I want North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last one is really tight. It was there the other day. Indiana.
Team that we just crucified at the top of the show here as being worse than Boise State in our blind resume. And Griggs, what about Florida Atlantic? You want to make the case for them?
Well, I'd actually start with the team that's in the top 25. I had them both on this line, but if I had to pick between the two, I have liked Florida Atlantic more up until yesterday when Charleston won what I thought was a really impressive road game. And I think it's better than any road win and maybe any win that Florida Atlantic has. They're both good. But when you pull up Charleston, they don't have the quad one, but UNC Wilmington, that was their first home loss. And I think that there's enough, like, there's enough change there to add up to dollars. And I just really like this team.
Matt, what do you think about these two under the radar schools, Florida Atlantic and Charleston? Should one of them be here on this line?
I like Florida Atlantic on this line. Charleston had a tough time to do. Like, that was where, like, I wanted to throw them, like, on a 9 or 10 line. I see that Bracken Matrix had them outside the at-large, which I think is wrong, but like, I had to put them in the 11s. But, no, like, I like Florida Atlantic on this line. That's a solid. I mean,
I like FAU's profile. Yeah, I've liked FAU's profile all season better.
And yeah, I still
like better than Charleston's. The wins at North Texas and at Florida are better than winning at UNC Wilmington, in my opinion. But
in on it, you put them together, you might be right.
But I'm with Griggs, and I agree that they are the eight, because while I'm not sold that the Hokies are in the field right now, they were playing a lot better when they beat them. And Kent State is legitimately a 12 seed. Like, you know, they're not in at large field, but they are legitimately going to be that top, assuming they go through the MAC. That's a very good win to have on your resume. Whereas I actually only think the North Texas win, I'm not sold. Florida is just a S show. You know, yeah, they beat Georgia. Oh, wait a minute, they didn't. You know, I mean, it's Florida had one good win yesterday, but besides that, I'm not impressed with that as a win.
Tytel, what do you think?
Florida Virginia Atlantic, Tech, Charleston. Any day to take over Florida.
I want to say that I like them both a lot more than Indiana.
Okay. Florida Atlantic, Charleston, or Indiana? What, Tytel, what do you think?
I'm actually leaning towards subbing FAU in for the Tar Heels, which seems crazy, but okay. If you look at who the Tar Heels have beaten, two of their biggest wins are Ohio State and Michigan. Those both took a big hit in the past, like, hour, right?
Yes.
But they also beat Charleston.
They also gave Charleston their only loss.
Which is why Charleston doesn't go in ahead of them, but I think FAU does, despite the atrocious strength of schedule.
So you're saying let's pull Carolina out and leave Indiana on the line then?
No, you got to get Indiana off that line.
Yes, but if I'm the only voice of reason, then I understand if you don't want to do that.
Oh, what a response.
I know it's my line. Can I throw one more team in, Joey? Yeah. Where's Missouri?
Yeah, you're right.
It's west of Illinois.
Okay. I don't trust them, but they are. Their resume is
maybe then the solution to all of this is, and Sleek, let me ask you, let's drop Indiana out, leave North Carolina there, drop Indiana out, bring Missouri in, and leave both these under the radar schools another line.
I think if we're talking about Missouri, even though they've looked bad in some of their losses, yeah, you have to give them some credit for at least blowing out Illinois on a somewhat neutral court in St. Louis. Their win against Central Florida also looking a little bit better right here. So I would certainly have Missouri above both Indiana and Carolina right here.
Question, where is Missouri? They sure as hell weren't in College Station last night.
I think true. Dorman has solved the problem for us here with his own line by making the substitution. Because, I think Missouri may have been a bit of an oversight not having them in this far. I think they do belong there, and I think that kind of solves the problem and lets us go to Tytel for the 9 line with two under-the-radar schools in Indiana under consideration.
So starting to get into hold-your-nose territory, but because of that, we can start putting in these teams that just will never seem to lose again in FAU and Charleston. I guess the Hoosiers as well. When you beat Xavier on the road and beat the Tar Heels who are already in, I like those kinds of things. Plus, they've also been decimated by injuries, as I said, during blind resume. For the fourth, I think I'll do a coin flip between ugly and ugly. Maybe Creighton, because they've got some nice wins, and New Mexico. And I'll lean New Mexico just because they're only have two losses. But if you're the kind of voter who likes the bigger team with the more wins, then you have to go with the best wins. Then you have to go with Creighton. They've beaten Arkansas. They've beaten Butler, et cetera, et cetera.
I know we've got a lot of Big Ten teams in here, Tytel, but are you forgetting a few more? Like, I know they lost tonight, but Ohio State or Northwestern?
Yeah, I like Northwestern.
Yes, I'm forgetting Ohio State. Correct.
Okay, you're forgetting about
it. Isn't Titel also the one that coined the phrase, we at Hoops HD hate the back range?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know where we're going here. Joby, Joby, what about FAU Charleston, Indiana, and one of these teams here that I've mentioned, Creighton, New Mexico?
Of those ones up there,
is there another team?
Creighton should not be in the field. Period. Their overall record sucks.
You're not going to critique that.
Improve it. They should not be in the field. Period. I mean, they are on the 18 line. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they are not under consideration. I mean, flat out, you got to win more than you lose. Period.
All they have is a neutral court win against Arkansas.
And they have bad losses. Mm-hmm. You know, on top of it, BYU is not very good. Nebraska. The only reason we think Nebraska is any good is because they beat Creighton. and they beat one other team. I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Like Iowa, I think. All right, ACC Homer time. Let's pull up. Hey, there's some bad losses, but let's pull up the four tourney wins for Pitt.
What about Clemson?
Hold on a second.
And I know Clemson's beating one team conference. At a time. I think Pitt's better. I know Clemson beat them.
Clemson did beat them.
I'm with Joby that Pitt's better, first of all. Let me ask you about this.
Over Northwestern, I might add. The Pitt win over Northwestern, who I think of the teams listed is the best. But, I think that's a key factor here.
Oh, Joby over Vatek also?
Vatek's not in my field.
Wow.
Yeah, they were at one point close to a protected seed, but they have been in free fall.
Okay. Matt, we now have six teams under consideration for one spot.
I'll throw another one out there.
Okay, why not?
Yeah. Why not the Sun Devils?
I don't know where to start.
You guys are doing a great job as mentioning teams that I would not personally have in my field here. We've got like five of them on the under consideration board, but we only have the nine lines. So I think I'm way off, but Titel, you want to respond to the Sun Devils being involved here?
Please, Titel, respond to that.
They almost beat the Wildcats, but they didn't. They almost lost to San Francisco by less than 30, but they didn't. I mean, like, they've had some decent meat on the bone, but the win over, I think they beat Michigan early in the year. That is obviously looking much worse now. If I can do 5 seconds on to responding to Joby about Creighton, they were missing Ryan Kalkbrenner, the defending conference defensive player of the year, for three of those losses, BYU, ASU, and Marquette. And four of the other five losses with him were to teams who are already in our field and high up, Arizona, Texas, Xavier, UConn. So I hear what you're saying, but I would not be so cavalier, pun intended, to throw them out of the field right now.
I'm not saying they won't get there, but they got to go through the Big East and get that record up. They do. And right now, they're not considered.
It is worth noting they will have the Big Four coming up to Omaha. They've got to win all four of those at this point.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We got to move on here. We got to finish this nine line. I'm going to go through each of you real quick. We've got seven teams under consideration. Just give me your best. If I get two votes for anybody, they're going to go in. Matt.
I'll go Ohio State.
Titel.
New Mexico.
Griggs.
Ohio State.
Stalika.
Chicago's Big Ten team, Northwestern.
Northwestern and Joby. Yeah. I think I heard two votes for Ohio State. So
Northwestern for Dorman.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dorman.
Don't worry.
One person always falls off my screen here because
don't worry.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. Let's put Ohio State in as the last team. Let's just try to move this along. I know it was an awful loss tonight at home to Minnesota, but they still have a little bit of good on their resume.
Yeah, they do.
Including a home win over Rutgers that should not even count. Griggs, give me four teams for the 10 line, and we have six teams under consideration for you to pick from, or somebody else, obviously.
Okay. I'm just getting my notes in order here. I've got, I believe, Northwestern, Pitt, and then Clemson. And then this is where Indiana really belongs, but since they're already in, this is a team from I like this team better than New Mexico. I like Boise.
Yeah.
This is the team we discussed at the top of the show when we blind resumed them and thought they were at least equal to Indiana.
And I tipped my hat. I was like, oh, I've got them in my field. Yes.
Let me see here. Matt, what do you think of Northwestern, Pitt, Clemson, and Boise being this line here? Again, with Vatek, Arizona State, Creighton, New Mexico being held over.
I like Northwestern and Boise there. I'd put Creighton and New Mexico on this line with them.
Okay, you would go on Creighton, New Mexico. Titel, I know you would go Creighton and New Mexico. Sleeka, what would you go?
I'm going to concur with Joby in that I would not have Creighton in my field right now. The winds are just not there. I'm still pretty skeptical about Boise State. I don't like subbing either of these teams in right here. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to go to one other team in the meth lab, and that's Wake Forest at Wisconsin. Well, the Wisconsin win on the road, not looking quite as good as before. He got the Duke and Virginia Tech wins at home. But the problem, the reason we haven't mentioned the Deacons yet, a little loss called Loyola Marymount that's on their profile.
I'm just going to make things more confusing here, but Joby, are we overlooking Iowa based on one bad loss when they have several very good wins?
Yeah,
they've beaten Iowa like State, Iowa, Rutgers, Indiana, and Clemson. We're all in this field.
I like Iowa as getting a bid. I don't – they're kind of a perfect first four, Chad, in your description. Okay. You know me. I like teams with wacky resumes with a lot of big wins and a bad loss. It's, you know, I personally love Iowa in the field, but later. I think Griggs got it right. I would put Pitt ahead of Northwestern on the head-to-head, but that's being picky. Besides that,
we can flip that those. That's fine.
I think Boise is the better call. Now, Boise, this is hilarious. Boise, no joke, if you did an NIT field right now, Boise has 7 wins against the at-large NIT field. 7. Utah State, UNLV.
Man, that is
Utah
a Valley, deep dive.
Colorado, St. Louis, Texas A&M, and San Jose State. That is all 7 of those would be in the NIT right now. It's kind of hilarious. But the fact is they've compiled a lot of those. Maybe that's a first four team as well, but I like them a little better than the more barren but more straightforward resume of New Mexico. Otherwise, I would have New Mexico.
All right. Well, I think we kind of have a line here then, because I've heard several of you actually like these four teams. So, Sleeka, why don't we give me 4 more teams for the 11 line here? We do have 6 teams under consideration there.
Well, if this is the case, I'm going to go ahead and nominate the Wake team I had mentioned right here.
Okay.
As far as other teams that are on the board, I'll go ahead and get Iowa in here. I don't like what New Mexico has done the past couple weeks, but I will still go ahead and put them in because I think this is the lesser of 4 or 5 different evils right here. And if I had to pick another team,
you can go off this board. There are a few teams off this board that are not on this board.
Yeah.
That are probably.
I hate to reward a team just for one good weekend, but I do think we have to consider Mississippi State with wins against Marquette and Utah in their Thanksgiving tournament.
I don't think that's a horrible pick here, but what do you think about this Mississippi State team? Do they belong in? Because we are getting into first four territory now.
I don't think they belong. And if you need another team, I think I'm going to suggest West Virginia beating Pitt, Florida, and UAB. They do have 6 losses, but most of them are close, and they're all to top 30 Ken Pom teams. So,
are you really putting a team that has not won a conference game in the field right now? I just want to clarify this. 0-4 in the Big 12.
And this is a terrible conference they're in, right, Chad?
It is a terrible.
It's not. It's the best conference in the nation.
I'm joking, but
and it is also worth noting that conference record is not a criteria for the committee.
It's not a criteria. Actually, I would have West Virginia in right around here personally. But
thank you.
Chad, my math would be that if I'm correct, is the first four would be 44 and 45 and 46 yep. and 47.
Yeah, yeah. So Mississippi State would be the first of our first four teams
okay.
under as it sits right here. But Matt, let me get your thoughts on these four teams, and the order does kind of count because for at least for the fourth of these four teams.
I also think there's another Big Ten team we should be talking about, not yes. named Iowa, that resides in Penn State Nittany Lions. Yep.
Penn State. How about another
Big 12 team, not West Virginia? What about Oklahoma?
Yeah, I had them in this range too.
I like their state rival a little better.
All right, let's put Oklahoma and Oklahoma State both on the board here. Matt, you want to make a case for either one of these as a tournament team?
I had Oklahoma State right as like my last team in.
Okay. But they at least beat West Virginia.
Yeah. That's a place where even though Texas Tech's Q1, Texas Tech needs binoculars to see the field. They probably need binoculars to see the NIT at this point. So.
Yeah. Well, Dorman, what do you think? What should we do with this mess of a line here? Should we just stick with the Sleek's four? Or should we do something else?
I like the first three. I have Creighton ahead of Mississippi State.
I'll tell you what. I think we've heard enough love for Creighton out of multiple people at this point that we are going to go ahead and put them in.
Yeah.
Even though I personally would have not had them in my field. It's not my call. It's kind of the majority
actually,
of here.
I had them in my first four, so that's about.
And that's this is putting them in the first four here.
Yeah. I want to make sure a team gets looked at. I don't always like them, but I at least like them some of the time. Is Utah?
Okay, they are playing tonight at UCLA. If they win that game, as I kind of mentioned earlier, why I mentioned this because I think they would be in the field if they win tonight. But without it. You got.
It is very bland. I will. Okay. I wanted them looked at. I've looked at it. Okay. Now I want to look at someone else.
How about going back to Utah State and Utah Valley? I mean, yeah. They're all together.
How about going back to the Mountain West though? What about Nevada?
I like them too.
The Sam Houston State win is actually maybe the thing I kind of like the best about it.
Okay.
Along with being Boise, who we all kind of are consensus number two for us in the Mountain West right now. But Sam Houston State, that win should not be underrated.
Well, what should we do with this line? A match? Should we just leave it alone then? Now we got Creighton in there.
I think Wake should be off this. I think that's too early for Wake.
Who would you put instead?
I'd put Penn State in over Wake. Either Penn State or Arizona State over Wake. Or West Virginia. There's multiple options to put over Wake.
Okay, let's do one more question here. Tytel, Penn State or Wake Forest? How about that debate?
I'm not putting in a team with two tier threes. Let's go Penn State.
Let's go Penn State. How about we do that? Why don't we put Penn State in here?
The ACC guy actually agrees with that.
We'll top Wake Forest for now. There are three spots left, Joby. Why don't you give me your next three teams and so we can start debating the end here.
Had West Virginia over the Iowa because I think Iowa screams first four.
Okay, West Virginia's in.
As I mentioned, I think West Virginia is one. Mississippi State, I agree. And this is, tough call, but I will – my disdain for the Mountain West pulls me back from Nevada enough to put in the Demon Deacons here.
Of course. So you would leave out Arizona State.
Arizona State doesn't have – look at Arizona State's wins. I mean, it's really, really empty. And really empty. I mean, Colorado, they beat Creighton, who I don't think belongs in the field. And Michigan. Okay. Whoopie-doo.
All right. Let me go.
Can you put Wake next to Virginia Tech, please, for a second?
Okay. Let's take a look at Wake Forest and Virginia Tech here, Dorman. Give me your thoughts on these two teams.
I understand, Joby.
It's a coin flip for me.
It's very tight. The recency, I understand, Bodtech is going in the wrong direction. The Wake Forest bothers me. Those three tier losses with LSU and Loyola Marymount just.
The LSU game is the one that I stare at a lot, Dorman, because they were up 20.
Yeah,
Wake was up 20 in that game and lost in the last seconds. Of course, they won in the last seconds over Davidson, so you can
watch it.
Yeah, so it trades out maybe, but I'm like, boy, if you took that LSU win over, which they just should have had, and be honest, you know, I felt like the officiating was way off. I was like, ooh. That's why I'm not giving them a pass, but that's why I'm evaluating them a little more gingerly. How about that? When you combine it with some really good wins. I mean, and Utah Valley's a good win, believe it or not.
The Duke and the Wisconsin, I agree, and the Utah Valley are better than Vatek's win. So I agree. I would go Wake Forest over Vatek.
Tytel, what do you think about our final four here, of our first four of Creighton, West Virginia, Mississippi State, Wake, and with these other teams left out that we left out?
It's getting to hold your nose time, and there's nobody. I like Utah more than Wake, but like not enough to veto. I mean, they're
How about going back to the American? How about either Memphis or UCF?
Do they? I like UCF.
I was gonna say UCF here. I think they should.
I would have them. They were in my, like, they were either my last team in or my second to last team in. And I'll let Matt talk about them, because you've heard me talk about them for weeks on the Hoops HD report. So
absolutely, they have the tier four, which I don't know if one tier four is worse than two tier threes, but.
And no wins over anybody that we put in this field, Matt, you know, I mean.
I have Oklahoma State also at the bottom of my field.
Okay.
But we are overlooking someone.
Who are you overlooking? We didn't put Oklahoma State under consideration. I'll put them up there.
Well, okay. It's one of the better, San Jose State. It's they're coached by Tim Miles.
Stalika, is anybody else that you think we blew it on here?
I don't think there's a team I would be offended if we were talking about replacing Wake Forest, for example. Oklahoma would be one team that's a kind of intriguing right here. If I'm looking at what the Sooners have done right here, they don't have any wins that I would say are against teams that are surefire in the tournament, but also quite a few wins against teams that would probably be in the NIT, sort of like the Boise State team that we discussed earlier.
They blew that win. They had Kansas on the ropes in on the road. That would have really put them over the hump, I think.
They had the Texas game basically won too at one point. Did.
Yep.
Anybody else that belongs under consideration that we did not put under consideration here? Anybody else that's you know, that close that we just haven't discussed at all tonight?
Kent State.
I'll tell you what, though. They'd be an auto bid winner, so I'm going to go ahead and put them right on in there.
There you go. I agree.
I don't really know if there's anybody else that's that close that we haven't discussed, because we're not mentioning a team from the state of Kentucky at all here, deservedly so.
Yeah, God. Maybe Utah State because of the metrics, but like their profile. Like, I remember I looked at their profile and it was no good. But
this is one of Utah State. I agree with you, Matt. This is very strange. A 24 net and I see garbage and two bad losses. So I don't understand that profile at all.
Well, let's not get too far.
They don't
too
look
far
that
ahead
good.
Of ourselves. We can still mention Moorhead State in Northern Kentucky.
The Mountain West as a whole has gamed the net. They have. I'm not saying it out of spite or anything, almost admiration. But I'm sorry. UNLV's not 52. Utah State's not 24. Nevada is certainly not 35. I mean, it's kind of remarkable how they did this. And to their credit, they beat a lot of the middle of the West Coast Conference. You know, like San Francisco is not necessarily that good, but a lot of them got wins over San Francisco and Santa Clara and that group.
And I'll just say, like, the NCAA, even though they reintroduced that with a lot of fanfare a few years ago, they haven't been so stringent to it to, like, personally put in Team 25 or leave out Team 60 if Team 60 has a good resume.
Exactly right, Matt. They've treated it, and they did the same with the RPI. They don't treat it as a ranking tool. They treat it as a sorting tool for your opponents. And that, I think, is the correct way to do it because it measures it out. While I do look at a team and say, oh, Creighton's not 27, you got that win, it's still a better method than saying, oh, Creighton's, in that case, a 7 seed, if that makes sense.
We do have our field then. I've also added, finished off the 12 line with Kent State, as Doran mentioned, Utah Valley and Dayton finishing out the 12 line, our first A-10 team getting in below the bubble.
That's a live wire Dayton team.
I think they may move up also here. They're starting, been creeping up very slowly. But quickly to reveal the 13 through 16 lines, Southern Miss, Oral Roberts, Iona, UC Santa Barbara, Liberty, Indiana State, SU Edwardsville, Princeton, Lowell, Eastern Washington, Colgate, Norfolk, Milwaukee, Longwood, Corpus Christi, Southern, Samford, and Fairleigh Dickinson finishing out the field there with that 303 net and being the best team in the Northeast Conference. But there is our field.
The most lopsided game of the entire tournament is the Samford Fairleigh Dickinson game.
I'm going to have everything bracketed up. It'll be down below. You can check out the final bracket now. But I want to go through each of you while I leave this up here for any other final thoughts on what we did tonight or anything else. Stalika, let me start with you.
I like to use the word chasm to describe certain tiers right here. There is definitely going to be a bit of a fall off between the 6 and 7 lines would probably be the first one I would use. And then once you get below Florida Atlantic and Charleston, we're really going to be holding our noses at this point as we're trying to pick teams to fill the field right here. But fortunately, we're getting into, shall we say, the second quarter of conference play here. So there will still be plenty of opportunities to get some more meat on the profile and not the plant-based meat that we're seeing out of some of these profiles here.
Matt.
That's what I think when we're looking at the bottom, and I think you brought it up, Chaz, like, even though they don't outwardly say it, I can't see the American being the number 7 league getting only one bid. They'll find another team somewhere in there. Even if they go to Dayton, they'll find another team. So that's where, like, I think especially this year when the ACC is down, the Pac-12 is down, the Big East is so-so relative to past years, they'll find a way to get, like, that second American team, 2 or 3 from the Mountain West, probably definitely at least the 2 from the West Coast.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there is that second team coming in here at some point. Dorman.
Yeah, our 4 under-the-radar teams that first got in, sitting on the 9 line, Florida Atlantic, College of Charleston, then on the 12 line, Kent State and Utah Valley. Iona doesn't come back, not that far behind, are really good basketball teams. They are live to win or a game or 2. And make the second weekend of this tournament. I think there is good. They can beat these 5, 6, 7, 8 seeds. They're right there. Their talent is great. A lot of these teams have experience and really good guard play. Really looking forward to what the damage they will do in the tournament.
And I'll follow up on them. A couple teams that may need to win auto bids that surprise over these teams, but in Conference USA, if it's not Florida Atlantic, keep an eye on North Texas. If it's not Charleston, keep an eye on Wilmington. If it's not Utah Valley, keep an eye on Sam Houston. There are a lot of interesting teams in these under the radar conferences this year. Who are we up to? Titel.
So the thing that catches my eye are the 2 Patinos, actually. So in the 6-11 matchup, you get perhaps New Mexico against Duke. I don't know about you guys. I remember the last time a coach named Patino faced Duke in March. It turned out pretty well 30 years ago. And then as far as the 4-13 line, I'll defer to Joby, but like, I think it's pretty rare to have 2 coaches with NCAA titles on their resume facing off in the first round, Patino and Bennett. That would be amazing.
And luckily, Joby. Tony Bennett has owned Patino. I mean, given Virginia's luck in 4-13 games as of late, I actually would say that's a good matchup.
Any other thoughts, Joby?
Yeah, I think Stalika with his tears was right on. I'm very much in agreement. But the interesting thing about the final tier after the Florida Atlantic Charleston, which I agree with Stalika, that's where a break is. Count up those teams. 5 of the 14 there, 5 are Big Ten, and for good measure, 3 are ACC with Virginia Tech in discussion. It'll be very interesting on those 2 conferences, and let me throw the Mountain West in as well with Nevada, Boise State, Nevada, Boise State, New Mexico, all right there, UNLV, can make a run. They're not in, obviously, right now. But those three conferences, those are the conference races to watch, because there will be teams that rise up. Like, all of a sudden, you know, if Clemson does go ahead and win the regular season ACC title, they're not 10. Yeah, you know, we know that. Yeah, yeah. But there will also be teams that fall, you know, that wind up, you know, let's take the Big Ten ACC, that wind up 8-12, 7-13. It's like, oh, no, we're not taking them. So it'll be very interesting to, as our bracket shows, to watch those three conferences who make up such a big share of the present bubble.
All right. Griggs.
There are a couple cases. They didn't make the field, but they are under consideration. UCF one, Kent State perhaps another one, maybe Utah Valley too, are of teams that I think are better than what their resumes indicate. And unfortunately, I don't know how many chances they'll have to improve their resumes to make them look any better than what they already are. Dayton, certainly another one. I don't think Dayton has another. I think they only have one or two games against top 100 teams the rest of the year. And it's just one of those. It just goes to show you that if you're not in a power conference, and sometimes in this case, even if you're in a what's normally a regular multi-bid league but isn't this year, you can get better, you can be good, but if you don't beat somebody in those first 6 weeks of the season, then you're just not going to get a chance to really go up that far. Kent State has three losses to protected seeds, all by 7 points or less. And is that going to be enough to get them inside the bubble, even if they blow through the MAC? You know, Dayton had injuries when they lost their games early on. They're playing really well now. But will their resume get them there, or will all three of those teams need to win that last tournament game in order to get them into the field? Same with UCF, who almost beat Houston, by the way.
Almost beat Houston?
Okay. UCF.
Okay.
Didn't they? They had three losses that were really...
Let's pull up UCF's profile here. I don't remember that game. You could be right.
They were right in there. It came down to the end. Now I remember
the game. I was thinking back to the South Florida Houston game last night. I got myself a little confused there, but that's all right. Yeah. All right. I guess on that note, I'm going to pull this down here. But like I said, we did bracket it up. It's down below. Well, we haven't done it yet, but we will. But I do want to thank everybody for joining us. And we will be back in next week, Monday night, with another Hoops HD report and a full bunch of shows all week, I guess. But on behalf of Matt Sikowski and David Dorman, David Griggs in the center square, John Titella, John Sleekin to the sides, Joby Fortson down in the bottom row there, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.